Good morning and happy fast breaking day, or as I'd like to see it, happy feasting day. I know I was talking to one member of our church family yesterday, and they said that they were going to be watching the service this morning with a cup of hot chocolate in one hand and a muffin in the other, because it's fast breaking day. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about fasting, is that it prepares for feasting. And I hope that in some way or another, you will be feasting today. I hope that many of you who live in the Pacifica area have found a little white bag on your doorstep today, just to help you. Well, I'm not going to tell you what's inside it, but because it says on there, don't open it till after the service. But it is to celebrate fast breaking day, to celebrate feasting day. Obviously, this is our celebration Sunday, and it's a little bit different than it normally is. But nevertheless, I want us to be able to celebrate together the end of our 21 days of hungering and thirsting after God. Celebrate all the things that he's said to us, and the things he will say to us, and the preparations he's given us for the year to come. If by any chance you didn't get a little white bag on your doorstep, if you don't come in and out of your front door, then it's probably worth you going and looking outside your front door, because I'm sure that that's where it would have been put. But if we didn't, please forgive us. It isn't because we don't love you or we don't care about you. It means that there must be something a little bit awry with our records. Please let us know so we can make sure our records are correct, because we don't want to miss anybody. Unfortunately, we couldn't deliver to all of the people who are in different parts of the country, but we love you, and we are really thrilled that you're with us. And we just pray that God will give you a great fast-breaking feasting day today as we worship together. Just a few announcements. Firstly, on behalf of the whole church family, I want to say thank you to Li Ling for preparing a just beautiful 21 hours of prayer and fasting that we had, 21-hour prayer chain that we had in the sanctuary yesterday. It was absolutely beautiful. You saw some of the pictures in the slideshow just now. It was just a time of great blessing. And she worked extraordinarily hard. It's just amazing to me the incredible creativity we have in our church family and in our staff. And certainly Li Ling, as the newest member of our church staff, has certainly increased the bank of creativity that we have amongst our church, our staff and church family. So thank you so much. I know that she's going to open the sanctuary up again this afternoon, particularly for families. Again, we're going to say one slot. It's actually going to be opened at 20-minute slots for families. If you private message, text message Deja Nanny, she'll tell you there's some slots available after 1:30. So if you want to bring your family for a short period of time, if you haven't seen it, I really urge you to take that opportunity, because there's some wonderful things that certainly I so appreciated the way in which we everything that was set up took us into the presence of God and encouraged us as we move forward. Last week we began to tell you about the women's Bible study by Priscilla Shira on the book of Elijah. You can still register. It's $10 to register, and we're going to see a little video about it right now.
If there was ever a time where the sons and daughters of God needed to rise up in the spirit of Elijah, that time is right now. More and more people are forgetting who our God is, that he is who he has always declared himself to be, and he can still do exactly what he said he can do. God's hand is on you, not just the missionary, not just the pastor, not just the Sunday school leader. God's hand is on you right where He has placed you to be used for His purposes and His glory. Because we operate by the power and the presence and the discernment of the Spirit of God, we should still be able to live in alignment with the promises that our God has declared to us.
So, ladies, if you haven't registered yet, I should register as quick as possible. I'm sure that that's going to be a really exciting series. One of the things that has blessed us so much in the 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting has been the New Life community page. If you haven't joined it yet, you've missed out. It's been such an amazing blessing. Time after time, I've seen things shared on there which, you know, really make so much sense out of something that I said in the sermon last week about the fact that God speaks to us as we hunger and thirst after Him. But we don't just do that as individuals, we do it as a community. And as we share how God has touched us, then all of us are blessed. And, you know, I've seen example after example about that. As people have shared things and other people have been blessed. So we're going to keep that. We're going to keep that New Life community private group. Again, I just want to emphasize that. I need to every time, because it doesn't mean that you have to join Facebook to get on the community page. If you're not sure how to do that, just contact Julianne and she'll make sure that you know how. So that it's a private group that enables us to share one together and bless one another. And it's been a blessing already. And if you haven't experienced that blessing, then join today, but you can go back over all of the posts that have been there, and you can still be blessed by them. So join the New Life Community Facebook group, and you will continue to experience the blessing. Now, one of the things that we often do on Celebration Sunday is to look at all of the different ministries in our church and see where the needs are. Now, I'm sure that there are lots of needs in lots of places, but I just want to point out one particular need that we have right now. We have a need for children's ministry teachers. Now, children, we have a wonderful group of children, and we love them dearly, and you know, we have a tremendous responsibility as a church family to minister to those children. And Dejanani does a wonderful job of leading that ministry, but we need teachers. We need people who will recognize that this is part of the responsibility that we have as the body of Christ. Teaching on Zoom and through Hangouts is not easy. But God never told us that ministry was going to be easy. But we do need to share that ministry together. So if you can help, or you just like to find out if you can help, contact Dejanani, because we need to carry the loads together. And so we want to love our children together. Look at them; they're so precious, and we're so blessed to have children amongst us. So this is a wonderful way for us to be able to continue to minister to them. I've been to one of the Hangouts, and I've heard about them, and they're just such fun. And so please, if you think you might be able to, just join up and call Dejanani and say, look, can I help? It would be really great. And of course, I always remind you that, you know, in order for the church to function, I mean, I remember somebody saying that they assumed that the church was financed from some place outside, and all of our money, all of the things that enable us to be the church that we are, to do the things that we do, comes from our weekly offerings. And I know that right now some people have been really, really stretched, and we appreciate that. But some have been able to work the same way as they did before through all this time. And please continue to be as generous. I can never say thank you enough for the generosity of our church family as it is, but we want to continue to be all that God has called us to do. So there's the opportunities to give, use our church app, all of those things, and continue to bless us. Now, let's go to worship, and Julianne and April are going to lead us.
Good morning, New Life family. It's good to be together. Our world has been going through so much, and in our own lives with work and health and church and politics, we can become overwhelmed, and it's good to be able to be together to worship the one who is in charge, the one who is in control, and we can put our hope and our trust in him. So I wanted to start with the song, and it speaks for itself. Alabaster Heart talks about us being able to give our praise to him, and it talks about how he gave himself for us. And so I hope that you can worship with us in this song. Dear Lord, we give to you all the things that are on our hearts and in our minds. We give to you our hurts. We give to you our questions. We give to you our joys. And we thank you for all that you have taught us this year and the ways that you have challenged us. And so we just want to start this service this morning worshiping you, thanking you, giving ourselves over to you, inviting your Holy Spirit to talk to us and to strengthen us, emboldening us to love and to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ours, the years of endless praise. every breath an offering, a heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, we need you here. Come flood us and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, we need you here.
Sweetest love, when my heart becomes free. on my heart to share this prayer with you all as I've been preparing to lead us in prayer today. So I just want to say that this is a prayer that I prayers that I say quite often. And so if I get into saying it and saying I mean we as well, but you can pray along, just listen, and hopefully this matches where we all are as far as our hearts and where God is for us. Just bow your heads. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the glory, and the honor forever and ever. Father, we thank you that Jesus taught us to pray, and that in each line, Lord, in each statement, it is a statement of truth, a statement of your will, a statement of what you want for us, Lord God. And in speaking it out this morning, and as often as we do, Lord God, we are speaking your will for us individually and corporately into existence. We are reminding ourselves, God, that you love us, that you are present, that you are forgiving us, and asking us to be just like you and forgive as well. That you're leading us away from temptation, that you have and will deliver us from the evil one. So Father, we thank you for the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, because it is the prayer of your will. And we lift it up to you this morning. So, Father, we present our bodies to you as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. For this is our reasonable service of worship. We will not be conformed to this world today or any day, but we will renew our minds, Lord God, as we read your word, as we bring ourselves to you and seek to hear from you, Lord. Jesus, we coronate you as King of our lives today, as Lord of our lives today, as Master of our life today, and a Savior of our lives today. Jesus, we thank you, God, for dying on the cross for us. And yes, we accept your death as sacrifice, as an indicator of your love, the Father's love for us. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that this day, every day, that we seek to be more and more like you in the way we see the world, in the way we act in the world, in the way we, as you called us to, love one another. Holy Spirit, we give you our mind, because we know that it's said that a mind that is led by the Spirit is a mind of life and peace. So, Father God, we seek your peace for ourselves and for one another and for our nation. Holy Spirit, direct us, guide us, teach us, empower us, and counsel us with your eyes upon us. Teach us your word this day. speak to us and help us to hear you, God, so that we might act in the way that you would have us act, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we just want to be led by you because we know that those who are led by the Spirit demonstrate their love for you in our world. So, Father God, we thank you for these last 21 days, for what we have heard from you, for what you've been teaching us, for what you are asking us to do, to step out and do, to be your hands and feet, your eyes and ears, to love one another and to love this world. Each person and each part of the creation that you love, that you call good. Father, help us to seek the unity that Jesus prays for. Help us to love one another so that the world might know that Jesus was sent by you to demonstrate your love. Thank you, God. And in the name of your Son, I pray in the power of your Holy Spirit, we receive all that you would give us and all that we would do. In the name of your Son. Amen. Here's a scripture reading for today. It's from Haggai chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Then, on October 17 of the same year, the Lord sent another message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now, get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So, do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken.
Oh, how I love that scripture. Thank you so much, Yomi. We've been accustomed, if you've been on the New Life Facebook community group, you've become accustomed to seeing Yomi in front of those bars. It almost looks like he's in prison, but we've heard from him on a number of occasions, and it was great to have you pray for us. And thank you so much for April and Julianne for leading us in worship. It was great to see Sophie singing. I happen to know that Sophie's returning to Michigan to Hope College today, so let's remember her in our prayers. And as we come to the Word of God, certainly I pray that God will awaken us to His presence, that He will awaken us to His presence know that He wants to speak to us as we finish 21 days. It's so exciting. Now, just before at the end of last year, we had a series of sermons on the book of Acts, and we entitled them Fulfilling God's Dream. Does God have dreams? Well, of course, I don't really know. But what I do know is that God has a plan. And I hope that a number of people who heard me say that are repeating that we have a part in it. God has a plan. And I think that it's not too much of a stretch to say perhaps he dreams of those fulfillments. I'm sure he doesn't. I know that that God doesn't slumber or sleep. And so you can point out those scriptures to me if you like. But I just like to imagine that God has this vision, this idea, perhaps this dream of how his intention, his plan will be fulfilled out. And we saw in that series how the people began to fulfill God's dream, as we said, the purpose of which was in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, when he calls us to go and make disciples, teaching them all that he taught them. That was the vision that he had, a vision of a community who were driven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing all that he called them to do. But the thing is that the idea of church, although they didn't call it that way, came far earlier in God's plan. And I think it is so important for us to see the sweep of the story of God, how it moved towards that. God's idea of a people that would proclaim and demonstrate who he is and what it means to live in the way the Creator intended it began so much earlier when he chose Abraham, when he chose a people. Now, it's really important to understand that he chose them first. He chose them, and then he gave them what, for today's purposes, I'm just going to call the designer's instructions. There are lots of things in the scripture, and I know that's an oversimplification, but I want us to see that they are not a set of rules that we have to keep in order to keep him happy. What he unfolds in scripture, stage by stage, is the designer's instructions. The way in which he designed life, and therefore how we will flourish. I don't know about you, but I don't know whether you're one of those people who, when they get a new gadget or a new piece of furniture or something, you start to put it together without looking at the instructions. Oh, I can handle this. And if you're anything like me, you discover very soon that you can't, because suddenly you've put most of it together and there's three screws and two pieces that you know have got to go somewhere, but you don't know where they're supposed to fit. And that's because that's the consequence of not reading the instructions. And I've lost count of the number of times that I've looked at somebody close by me, maybe Maggie, and said, perhaps I should have read the instructions first. So God gave us instructions so that we might understand how we should flourish. But I want us to understand that he also said two things. He said he would be with us all the time. He said, you know, if you're struggling with the instructions, just ask me and I'll explain them to you. I'll help you. I'll help you do that. But the second thing he said was, if you don't follow the instructions, there will be consequences. Like the consequences when, I didn't follow the instructions and I had three pieces over and didn't know what to do with them. Tragically, the consequences of not following God's instructions are significantly more significant. And of course, the people of Israel, they decided that they would test these things that God said to the absolute limit. Time and time again, God had to remind them that he was with them and put them back together again. And he said, look, if you go on and on and on like this, I don't know what else to do, but I'm going to take you out of the promised land. And so ultimately, they were taken out of the promised land, and they were taken to exile in Babylon in 586 BC. And the wonderful, glorious temple that Solomon had built, with all the riches and the place where the focus was on the presence of God was burnt to the ground. And the people of Israel were deported to Babylonia, where the Babylonians did everything they could to eliminate the Jewish race altogether. And that's a pattern that's repeated over and over again. I know when I was working for Jews for Jesus, we used to say sometimes that the existence of the Jewish race right now is one of the most clarion testimonies to the existence of God, because the only way in which they could still exist, given the number of times people have tried to wipe them out, is if God had decided that they were still his chosen people. So they tried everything they knew how to eliminate them, but they were not eliminated. And then in 536 BC, along came Cyrus, who was a king of Persia, and God prompted him. He said, look, I want you to send the people of Israel back. And so he sends 50,000 people back to the people, back to the to Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem. If you want to read about that, the prophecy, the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah tell us all about that. 50,000 people go back and they begin to rebuild the walls, and they enthusiastically laid the plans for the rebuilding of the temple. But needless to say, whenever God moves in the way that he was moving there, as they began to reclaim their chosenness, their heritage that he had given them, there is always opposition. And we read in Ezra chapter 4 how a guy called Artaxerxes, he wrote and said, look, you know, stop these people doing this, because what they're doing is dangerous. And then at the end of chapter 4, we hear this. So the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of Darius, king of Persia. So they got so discouraged, they got so scared of the opposition, that they stopped the work. And when Darius, king of Persia, was on the throne, God sent a couple of prophets. One of them was one of my favorites, a prophet called Haggai. And we're going to look a little bit at what he said and what God sent him to say to the people of Israel. Now, like any good prophet, he went around and he made some inquiries. He made some inquiries because he obviously saw the foundations of the temple was sitting there, and you know, nobody came to work in the morning. You know, it was like a building site, but there were no builders. Mm-hmm. And so he obviously said, "Well, what's the deal here? Why isn't anybody doing anything?" And we discover that he says, that they told him, and this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, the people are saying, what they told him was, the time is not right. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Well, that's pretty odd, isn't it? I mean, you started it, and now you suddenly decide, oh, terribly sorry, we made a mistake. It's not time to build them. But then he makes another observation. And he makes an observation of, why are you living in luxurious houses while the temple is in ruin? Now, why was this important? It was important because the temple, if you remember, was the place that the presence of God was focused. In the temple, when Solomon built the temple and he dedicated it, the presence of the Lord descended upon the temple. This is where the people went to encounter, to learn, to be revealed the presence of God. And the fact that they had not given the absolute priority to the place where they would experience the presence of God communicated that it wasn't that important. And what was more important was their houses. They were thinking of their own comfort and said, you know, the time is not right. What a good excuse. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. But the time is not right. I think that's an excuse which has echoed down through the centuries, that when we are in a place where something is difficult, well, we'll get to it later. We'll get to it when I get, you know, when the time is more appropriate, is one that certainly I know I've used, and I suspect that many of us have used. But as Haggai speaks to them, he points out to them, look, he said, not only is the temple not getting built, but have you noticed you're in a drought? Have you noticed you're in a famine, and all of the things that you expected as you came back to the promised land, if you come back to the place where, you know, rich harvests, all of those things, they're not happening. Has it ever occurred to you why? And he says, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces its crops. Number one, verse 11 says, I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, says God. I'm trying to wake you up, guys. I think it's, you know, something that I'm not one of these people who looks at every disaster that occurs and says, okay, God, this is the prophet of doom, you know, this is God saying to this people or that people or whatever, how bad they've been. I don't see things like that. But I do think that when we see things happening around us, we need to ask ourselves if God is actually trying to communicate something through that. I think we need to be asking God, what is he trying to communicate to the church through COVID-19? And the interruptions that we've had, let alone, I think he's saying things to all sorts, but the church is what I'm principally concerned about this morning. What are you saying to us? And so what? So the two leaders, Jehozadak and Zerubbabel, they come to the people and they inspire them. And they say, come on, let's get back to what our priorities were. Let's forget the opposition. Let's forget the fear, because God's bigger than that. And so we see at the beginning of, right at the end of chapter one, they began to work on the house of the Lord on September the 21st, in the second of the year of Darius's reign. So they got past all of their fear of the opposition, and they said, our God's stronger, we're going to rebuild the temple. But as so often happens, when we deal with one of the things that are sent to oppose us, then something else comes swinging in behind. And what comes swinging in behind is one of the most potent weapons of the evil one. Discouragement. Look what he says here. Does anyone remember this house, the temple, in its former splendor? They're looking at what the temple that's being rebuilt, and they're saying, this isn't anything like the temple that we had that Solomon built. And that's hardly likely. If you remember, when Solomon built the temple, the riches and the sumptuousness of the temple, they had all of the riches of David's kingdom and more of Solomon's in one of the most prosperous times of Israel's entire existence, that went to build this magnificent temple. So no wonder, as they looked at their temple, and they looked at the foundations where a nation that was returning from being beaten up in exile, as they tried to rebuild, no wonder some people looked at them and said, oh, you know, this is lame. You know, it's nothing like it was before. We can't get back to where we were. We can't do the things that we used to do and the, you know, the wonderful temple we used to be able to go to. Now, you may not remember that temple, but we do, and it's not like it was before. Are you beginning to hear some of the things that echo around the church during COVID-19? It's not like it was. We'll never get back to where we were. We may as well give up. They got discouraged. But what happens next is God gives them what I believe must have been one of the most inspiring messages that they ever received in the course of their existence. They received an amazing message of encouragement. And it is my prayer that God will take that message and deliver it to us today with the same sort of inspiration and excitement that they must have had, that Zerubbabel and Shealtiel must have had back in the prophecy of Zechariah, who prophesied the same time as at the same time as Haggai. He said Zerubbabel says, God says to Zerubbabel some amazing things. And we looked at, they were part of our experience in the 21 hours of prayer. If you weren't there, I want to remind you of this. It says, then he said, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. Then Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, and the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. God gives to the people of Israel, and we're going to look at it right now in just a couple of minutes, the most magnificent message. And I pray that we will receive it. But before we do that, I want us to look carefully at where we are. Because the truth is, we have been discouraged. I was writing in my journal this morning, I've been discouraged. I've been disappointed. I've been disillusioned. Multiple times over the past 12, 6, 8 months. Even during the last 21 days. And I'm sure that many of you have too. And I realize that most of my disillusionment and disappointment and all of those things come because I doubt. I've doubted that God was still in charge. I've said to myself that God is still in charge, but the distance between my head and my heart is a long way. And so sometimes disappointment and disillusionment have taken a hold on me. And I suspect that maybe they have on you. And I want to ask us today to look carefully. And I may be going to say some things that will upset some people, but I want you and me to look carefully at what the consequences of that disappointment, disillusionment, discouragement have been. Because you see, if you look back there into the people of Israel, what happened to the people of Israel when they were discouraged? They went back and they looked after themselves. They looked after their own houses. They said, this one's going to be no good anymore, so we're going to look after our own houses. We're going to withdraw from the community and look after our own places. We're going to make sure we're comfortable and make sure we're safe. And maybe we'll jump back in to the people of Israel. We'll jump back into the community life when things are better. But right now I need to look after myself. because I'm discouraged. And I'm disappointed in people. I'm disappointed in things. I'm disappointed in the way this person said things or this has happened. They withdrew into themselves. It struck me this morning that although we have been asked to shelter in place physically, nobody told us we had to shelter in place spiritually. Nobody told us that. But we've done that in a lot of cases because to not do so was extraordinarily hard. And as a consequence, I think there are many whose withdrawal means they're not even hearing this message. Because they're still in their own houses doing their own thing. And whether they'll come back or not, well, we'll decide when we get there. But you see, and they're receiving blessing from all sorts of other churches in other places, and that's wonderful. I don't want to criticize that for one minute, but I do want to say this. If you get blessing from all sorts of other places, there is a price to be paid. The price to be paid is your church family. Your church family pays a price when you're not there. Our covenant says that this New Life Christian Fellowship is the place where God has called me to serve and worship. When God called you to do that, he said, unless it gets difficult, unless it gets uncomfortable, unless it's hard and you don't know quite what to do next, if you do that, you can opt out and then come back later. No, he said, I've called you there because there is the journey that I have you on. There is the place where your unique gifts are to be used. You can gain blessings from all sorts of other places, and I hope you will, for books you read, for sermons you listen to. I do all of those things. But if I do that at the price of the place that God has called me to serve, then that's too big a price. And that's the price that the people of Israel chose to pay when they left the foundations of the temple untouched because they didn't think they could make it like it was before. They didn't think they could make it like it was before. My brothers and sisters, COVID-19 never changed the call that we have to be a people of God in Pacifica who are disciples and make disciples and who stand and make a difference here. Because what God calls us to show the world, he calls us to show here in Pacifica. So now listen with me. Listen with me to the words that God gives the people of Israel and hear them for the people of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Because, you know, he said something so encouraging to them when he told them that things were difficult, and he pointed out, look, I've tried to wake you up. He said this, I am still with you. Verse 13, he says, I am still with you. I haven't left you. You remember those two things he said, there will be consequences, but I'm going to be with you. I haven't left you, he says. For this is what the Lord of the Heaven's Army says, in just a little while. Oh my goodness, that's what God always says. He gives us this vagaries. Okay, in a little while. I don't know what don't know what the why little while is, but in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the dry land. I will demonstrate in some way that you perhaps can't imagine, people, my power. Because what he said, I will shake the nations, the treasures of all the nations will be brought back to this temple. I will restore things. I will fill this place with glory. Don't worry that you don't think it looks like it did before. Don't worry like you don't. You, there isn't as much gold or silver or whatever. Don't worry about that stuff. Because the point of the temple is not the what it looks like. The point of the temple is that there is housed my glory. And I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And then you get this bit, which is, this is the best bit of all. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory. You may think what you had before was great, but what I've got for you is even greater. Now notice this. He doesn't say there was no glory in the temple before. He doesn't say, well, you know, old temple. No, that was glorious, but I've got even more glory for you. Now, sometimes as I've looked back and I've felt in my human self that just before COVID-19 hit, that, you know, we were gaining some real momentum, or what I thought was momentum, as far as New Life Christian Fellowship's concerned. I look there now and I think, well, it's, you know, I really don't know where we all are. But God says, I will build the church. I will fill it with glory in ways that you've never imagined. And that excites me, and I hope it does you. But it means that we have to turn away from that which has put us in a place where we've been focused on ourselves, where we've stepped off the road, where we've stepped off the journey that God is taking us as a community, and get back on that journey together, even though it may be very, very difficult. But you know, things that are very, very difficult are far less difficult when you do them together. Every single person who has either slightly or partially opted out of the journey we're on together has had consequences for us. You may feel better temporarily, but your church family is paying the price. Your church family is paying the price. We're a body. We're a building. We're a family. And if people opt out, we pay the price. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with asking other people to pay the price? You see, the people of Israel all paid a price for the fact that the temple was not rebuilt. They were paying a price together. They probably didn't notice it. They were too preoccupied with their own homes. But they were paying a price. We are paying a price. And part of that price is the witness that we are called to be here in Pacifica is significantly weakened. I'm sorry if you find that hard to hear. But I've looked inside my heart, and I know it's true of me, that the times when I have buckled under my disillusionment and my disappointment, then my witness has been weaker. This is an amazing promise. This time last year, I shared with you a prophetic word. A prophetic word that I believed and I believe was true, was a call to us and for what God wanted to do for us here. There were no whens or hows, and we said at the time, we don't know what this looks like or when it's going to happen, but that the elders and the staff affirmed that it was true. God called us to be prepared. And if we had tried to imagine a set of circumstances within which it would be more difficult to prepare, then 2020 might have come up in the system. Because what we've experienced in 2020 has been extraordinarily difficult to prepare in. Because we have been sometimes just preoccupied with surviving. We were asked in the prophetic word to be careful to intentionally sow new ministries within our church. How can we do that when most of our ministries are severely curtailed, if not happening at all? Could it be that God has a new ministries for us to sow? And just like he gave them a drought, he's given us a situation where we can't do the things that we did because he wants us to do different things. And that all the time we keep looking back, we're slowing down from moving forward. Could that possibly be true? Are we willing to ask ourselves that question together? So the challenge for us today on Celebration Sunday is, will we believe what God said through Haggai to the people of Israel? That our temple, our church family that God placed here in Pacifica, the glory that he has for us is greater than the glory we've had before. Are we willing to bow in repentance and say we are sorry for all that discouragement has done to us, and we want to encourage one another once more in order that God might do that glorious thing amongst us that he's promised us? Again, remember what he said, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force or by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's not by services or what this, that, and the other. It's by his spirit. As we have cried out to God for 21 days, it's by his spirit that he is going to fill the church once more. And I don't mean necessarily with individuals. He's going to fill us with his glory. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'd love to be able to tell you. But I believe. And I don't want to look back. So can we come together today? And I want to ask you to do something which I never normally do. As we look into ourselves and we ask God to show us what he's saying to us in this word, if you know that there's somebody else that you know and love who needs to hear this message, can you send it to them and plead with them to listen and see what God might say to them? Will you do that? Will you take the time first to ask God, what does this mean for me? Where have I been looking after my own home, figuratively speaking, and forgotten the temple that needs rebuilding? Because we are the temple. Scripture tells us. I pray that we will. I pray that we will. As we move forward, we're going to begin the year by recognizing that the Word of God was given to us because He first loved us. He first loved us. And so begin to look at our scriptures in the hope that we will understand anew and afresh. As God brings His glory to the church, where does the Word of God fit? In the call that He's giving us to make Him, His church, glorious. We're going to finish our service this morning by singing a song called, which is, you know, we know well, called Breathe on Us. And I just want to ask you to pray this, to sing this song as a prayer. To sing this song as a prayer. Breathe on us. Holy fire fall. Come and fill this place. Now I know, you know, this place is not a building. It's not, it's us. It's the church. It's the family that God has placed us in. With all the different roles we have within this community. Holy fire fall. Holy fire fall. Come and fill this place with your presence. There's a shaking. Let our hearts awaken. Our God is moving. So great and glorious. Holy Spirit, hear us now.
Shaking, let hearts awaken. Our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival, the sound of worship, so great and glorious. Holy Spirit, hear us now. Holy, lift up your hands and shout, the Lord is with us.
just before I pray, it's been drawn to my attention that something I said earlier, completely unintentionally, when I said that the Yomi's background had recollection of bars was, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it the way it came over. I didn't think that, I shouldn't have said anything at all. Yes, that screen is something which we've been becoming very familiar and enjoyed watching Yomi speak in front of, and I apologize, and please don't take any, make any significance out of what I said as a throwaway line and shouldn't have done. I apologize to Yomi, to anybody else who felt that, who recognized that as inappropriate. I am very, very sorry. Well, I hope that as we finish, you've got your paper bags. You can, as we finish our service, open them and enjoy breaking our fast together with the goodies that are within them. And I hope that together we are going to see God's glory break out in this church, break out among us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your enormous and amazing promises. We thank you for all that you have done to tell us how to walk with you. Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for our mistakes, whether they be mistakes of saying things we shouldn't say, or doing things we shouldn't do, or hiding when we shouldn't hide, or looking after our own houses when we should be looking after your house. Whatever they are, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us and that you will inspire us for all that you call us to do. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Please join us. If you've never joined us before, or you've, it's a long time since you've joined us, join us in our after church fellowship. You can eat your, we can eat our cookies together as we break fast together, as we feast together, as we move in the power of the Spirit. The mountains will move. God bless you all, and I look forward to seeing you next week.